Good morning to each of you. Good to see you. Would you take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Make your way toward the letters of Peter at the end of your New Testament. Make your way to 1 Peter and chapter 5. We'll be reading from that text in just a few minutes. In the meantime, I want to ask you to be praying about some things that are coming up here at Nashua during the month of June. First, our theme for the month of June will be excellence in youth. All this month, we have been talking about what the pursuit of excellence should look like at home. Our marriages should reflect the will of God and serve to reflect the glory and beauty of the greater covenant relationship that we have with Him. Because you see, the knowledge of an excellent God should leave no area of our lives untouched. Our marriages should reflect God's will. Our parenting, likewise, should be motivated by a conviction that His ways are always what is best for our kids. And so in the month of June, we want to extend that. In fact, I'm looking this way. I think it's appropriate. I want to extend that to how that applies, guys, in your lives. You are not merely genetic offspring. You have been created by God. And you have been created for an eternally significant purpose. So will you be praying about the month of June and about that theme? In fact, 2 weeks from today marks the start of something else very important in June that we need everyone praying about. On June 11th, we begin our annual four-day summer series here at Nashua, our Vacation Bible School. And you see on the screen, our theme for 2017 is Crowned with Purpose. Do you believe that our kids are crowned with purpose? I know that you do. Well, that being the case, I want to challenge us this morning as a congregation. Many have been working very hard on this to make this a special occurrence here at Nashua, but I want to just emphasize how important it is that we do that, brothers and sisters. We need to work with purpose to make sure that this event goes as well as it possibly can go. So I want to spend a few minutes with you, actually. I want to talk about what's coming up. And I want to highlight some things that I believe all of us can be doing. In fact, I've already given you something to do, right? Pray. Would you be praying about this? Let's enlist the help of the God of heaven. Otherwise, everything that we do as a congregation is but the work of men. Let's pray about this. Here's something else that you can do. Come. Everyone can come. Last year didn't see that many adults here. I want to talk with you about that. Maybe some of you are thinking, oh, this is for kids, or I'm not teaching and helping with a class, so I really don't need to come. I want to gently say to you how wrong-headed that is. I guess that's kind of blunt. But I want to challenge you if that's how you're thinking. First, we are all in the same spiritual family, are we not? And if there was a special event in the lives of kids in your earthly family, would you make it a point to attend? You know you would. This is an important thing in the lives of our kids here at Nashua. Are we not instructed to consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good works? You'll recognize that language from Hebrews chapter 10. Our kids need to be stimulated to love and good works. We need to apply that toward them and for them. And brothers and sisters, our kids need to know that you support their efforts to grow in the Lord. There are a lot of other people, as I alluded to earlier, who are working very hard to prepare for this. They need to know that you support their efforts in the Lord. And besides all that, can I just add one more thing to this, since I'm already in trouble on this? You realize this isn't entirely for kids, right? I know largely our effort is focused upon encouraging them to think about the fact that they are crowned with purpose, but look, there will be a special time of instruction and Bible study and discussion carved out just for adults. We're not going to be sitting around twiddling our thumbs while the kids are all doing their thing. We're going to be talking about how these lessons apply in our lives. So, I think I'm safe in saying this is a series that is for more than just kids. It's for all age groups. So will you come?
I hope that you will.
Now, prayer and attendance, those two things ought to be givens.
But there's more that you can do.
Perhaps you've been considering getting involved in some way. Maybe helping out with a class, maybe helping prepare some materials. And I know that there's a roster of people that are helping with those, and largely that roster, those assignments have all been filled. I haven't checked with Wendell and Missy, but I'm going to glance their way. I feel pretty safe in saying, if somebody wants to get plugged in and they come talk to you, you have a long list of things that you could plug them in. They immediately were going like this. So look, if you're not involved, it's not because we've run out of stuff to do, okay? And that's another way that we send a message to our kids about their value to us and about their value to God. So pray, come, be involved. And this morning I want to issue an additional call to this church to do something that perhaps we haven't done before with the VBS. Now think about our theme. If our kids are crowned with purpose, that sounds pretty important, doesn't it? It's because it is. If our kids are crowned with purpose, and if that is important, I don't know, shouldn't we be doing everything that we can to let other families know about this opportunity? Do you know families that could benefit from this material, from this theme, from a focus on David and Esther? Oh, I forgot the third one. Shame on me. There he is right there. Solomon and Josiah. Do you know of people that could benefit from those lessons? Someone says, well, all my friends are older and all their kids are grown. Yeah, but they have grandkids, and I'm guessing you do too. You know someone who knows someone who knows someone who could benefit from this. Now we have several ways of getting the word out. You see one of them depicted on the slide. We'll be talking about it in every service, but we have a couple of different flyers. We'll do a little bit of show and tell. We've had some flyers produced. You can pick up some of these today. In fact, I want to challenge you right now. Wendell did this back in April, and I want us to consider doing this for the VBS. Will you invite three people? And if you've invited three people, you've invited three families. Invite them to come be a part of this. All of the times, or at a time when everyone here can be there, for the most part, I would expect. But we have flyers that we can hand out. And look, the flyers do most of the work. Just hand it to them and say, we have this coming up at Nashua. We'd sure like you to be a part of it. That's all it has to be. There are registration forms that have been out for some time. We can make more of those if need be. In fact, there's another flyer out there. There are registration forms. And then there's the website. This is a snapshot of our website. And you'll notice that when you first pull up NashuaCoc.com, you'll see this image of our VBS, and if it says click here for details, and obviously that means click on it. And when you do, we don't have the page depicted. There's also a page set up for the VBS. When you click that, there is a separate page for the VBS where you can download the flyer, you can download the registration material, and you can point people to that. We have it linked to the Facebook page. We're promoting it on the Facebook page. What we're trying to underscore, brothers and sisters, is this is important. Our kids are crowned with purpose. All this effort, ladies and gentlemen, to strengthen our families is worth it. And I'm calling on us to strive together like it's worth it. We need the designer's help with our homes. In fact, I want to give you another reason why it's so important that we need to be talking about families and Bible teaching about families. I want to spend the rest of my time talking with you about a reality that is very sobering. And that is the ongoing assault being waged against our homes on a daily basis. Families are being hurt today. I think many of us would acknowledge that there exists opposition today
to God's plan for the family. And yet I believe there's a real danger of us failing to appreciate just how fundamental and how fierce the assault on our homes is. I asked you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 because the Bible teaches us to be on the alert about something. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 it says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert." And then he's going to spell out why. "Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And ladies and gentlemen, that involves people in our homes. He's seeking to devour husbands, and he's seeking to devour wives, and he's seeking to devour mothers and fathers. He's seeking to devour kids. He's seeking to devour entire families, ladies and gentlemen. And he doesn't care how he accomplishes it. He is ruthless. He will employ all manner of insidious attacks. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, we find an interesting statement from the Apostle Paul where he says of Satan that we are not ignorant of his schemes. Satan, ladies and gentlemen, is scheming. He is considering how to bring about spiritual destruction and ruin in the lives of everyone here. Now, if you think I'm employing some manipulative tactic, I'm just reading what the Bible says, all right? We are meant to take from that a measure of fear that should cause us to be on the alert. Ladies and gentlemen, I am announcing this morning something you already recognize. Our families are under assault. Satan has an agenda for every family represented in this room, every single one. And I believe one of the ways that Satan seeks to devour souls is indeed through his assault on the home as God would have it to be. So in our study, with the rest of our time, I want to highlight briefly some ways in which families are being placed in the crosshairs of our greatest enemy. The fact is, families have been hurt through changing attitudes toward three things that I want to talk with you about. I don't mean for this to be a comprehensive end-all list. You probably could add other things to the list, but I want to talk about attitudes toward three things, and through this, we find our homes under assault. First of all, it's appropriate that we just sing the song, "Give Me the Bible," because one of the ways that families are being hurt is through changing attitudes toward the Word of God. And if you just think about that for a couple of minutes, it makes all the sense in the world from the standpoint of what Satan's trying to accomplish. Because the Bible is the one book that sets forth the will of God for the family and for each of the relationships within the family. For the husband-wife relationship, for the parent-child relationship, for relationship between siblings. And so the Bible, therefore, is the one book that families need more than any other book about family relationships. And so if Satan's going to assault the home, one of the places he's going to work very hard is by assaulting the Bible, by trying to undermine our confidence in the Bible. Because if we as families don't use the one book that we need more than anything else, our families are going to be in trouble. He wants to keep families away from the Bible. And he goes about trying to accomplish this in many ways. And in the final analysis, he really doesn't care which method works. Just as long as he keeps us away from the Word of God, as husbands, as wives, as kids, as families. You see, Satan knows what the Bible says. He knows what 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 say, that all Scripture is inspired by God. And ladies and gentlemen, that makes it powerful. That makes it something Satan doesn't want your family around. The text says all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, so that we can be complete, equipped for every good work. So if Satan can keep us away from the Word of God, families can't know what God's will is, much less apply it. Well, how does he assault the Bible? Well, first, he tries to destroy our faith in the Bible. I realize there I have opened a subject that we could spend
several lessons talking about our faith in the Bible. One of the questions that I think is worth asking people today is, can you trust the Bible? Satan would try to convince us, no, you can't. He'll get us to question the reliability of the Bible, the historical accuracy of the Bible, the translation accuracy of the Bible, getting us to believe there are this slew of contradictions. Again, I'm introducing subjects that really deserve much more time than we're giving them this morning. He'll try to get us to join the ever-growing chorus of voices that say the Bible is just some dusty, outdated relic that really just doesn't have much for our lives here in 2017. So that's one way he attacks the Bible, is by trying to undermine our confidence in the Word of God. Secondly, not only does he try to erode our confidence in the Bible, he tries to make us afraid of being associated with the Bible. And all you have to do is just consume a little bit of media today. Turn on the television. Listen to the radio. Get on the internet. It doesn't take long to see any of a number of Bible teachings today being the subject of ridicule, whether it's the Bible as the one objective standard of truth, or what the Bible says about the origins of mankind and the universe. Talk about a subject that we need to give more to than we're going to give this morning. Any of a number of Bible teachings, moral teachings. And these oppositions can be quite fierce. And anyone who dares to stand up for what the Bible says will be subject to a wide array of inflammatory verbal persecution. You'll be accused of ignorance. You'll be accused of being narrow-minded. You may even be branded a hater or accused of hate speech. Look, there's nothing new under the sun. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul proclaimed in Jesus the resurrection, it says this in verse 32. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer. What we're talking about this morning is nothing new. Satan just has a few plays in his playbook, it seems to me. And he goes back to them time and time again. And one of them is trying to get us to ridicule the Word of God, to destroy our faith in the Word of God, making us afraid of being associated with the Bible. And third, trying to keep us too busy for the Bible. That's another area in which he definitely is assaulting our families. He'll involve us in pleasure, he'll involve us in work, he'll involve us in the kids' school schedules. But bottom line, one of the things he's trying to accomplish with that is just every bit by every bit, just whittle away at the amount of time that we actually spend with God's book and just convince us that we're, well, for good reasons, we just can't spend the kind of time with it that we probably should. And that's very tragic. Someone asks, well, what does this have to do with the family? Well, it has everything to do with the family. If family members are disconnected from God's book, as we've said, the family will be disconnected from God's book. It will not be the integral part of family life that it should be. Remember what Moses said to the children of Israel? How often should God's word be talked about? When you sit down and when you rise up and when you walk by the way. There should be a culture within the home of taking God's book and taking it into everything that we do as husbands and wives, as mothers and fathers, as kids, in our daily schedule. It should be part of the conversation at the home. And so here is biblical counsel that we need to embrace. It's so easy, and I know because it happens in our home, to just get so busy that we just don't spend time with God's Word like we should. And we need to understand that when that happens, that's no small matter. There are consequences that come with not being associated with God's Word. So this is part of Satan's assault on our homes. And I say again, families have been hurt by changing attitudes toward the Bible. Another way that Satan is assaulting our homes is through changing attitudes about marriage. And again, that's a point that should come as no surprise to us. God created marriage before he created any other institution.
It's the one relationship that God intended to serve as the foundation of the home. And so if you're going to attack the home, you're going to attack the foundations of the home. You're going to attack the Word of God upon which the home should be built, and you're going to attack the foundational relationship within the home in terms of earthly relationships. And so Satan has marriage in his crosshairs. Satan tries to destroy our belief that marriage can and should last a lifetime. God says it should last a lifetime. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 19, in conclusion, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. That is the will of God regarding marriage. But we see many today accepting divorce for all sorts of reasons. Maybe the love is no longer there, or there are just irreconcilable differences. But at the end of the day, none of those are acceptable in the sight of God. Satan further tries to destroy our confidence that marriage is good, and that indeed it is honorable. Many today believe that marriage is just, again, an outdated relic, and it really isn't that useful in today's time. Well, that just flies in the face of what the Bible says about this age-old institution. In Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is to be held in honor among all. You know why a lot of marriages are in trouble? Because that statement is not embraced and applied. Not to get off on the subject of honor, but if you have things that you dishonor, that you just throw around, that you just treat as common, you see, marriage is honorable. It's to be held in honor among all. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Satan today tries to get us to believe there are other good and honorable arrangements. If you're married to someone who's bound to another, that's okay. If you want to be married to someone of the same sex, that's okay. If you prefer to live together outside of marriage without ever marrying at all, that's fine as well. I read this disturbing statistic. A study found that over 50% of all first marriages in the early 90s were preceded by some period of cohabitation, in other words, living together. So the first half of the 1990s, first marriages, 50% of them, the people lived together first before getting married. You see, that's destroying people's confidence that marriage is to be held in honor among all, and that indeed there are other acceptable arrangements. Satan tries to destroy our acceptance of God's ordained roles within the home. He's been going about that a long time. People simply mock the roles set forth for the husband and the wife in passages like Ephesians chapter 5. Tries to make us afraid to stand up for what the Bible teaches. And further, Satan tries to keep married people, those who are married, who maybe at first when they say, I do, believe marriage is held in honor among all, tries to keep married people too busy for their marriages. Again, here's an observation that deserves more time than we can give it. But we understand from the Word of God, hey, we understand from experience. If you've been married for any length of time, you know marriage requires time. It requires hard work. Example, 1 Peter 3, verse 7, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. That requires a deliberate frame of mind, a deliberate choice to invest the time it takes to know my wife. And further, to live with her accordingly, to live with her in an understanding way. Marriage takes time and effort. Look, we don't like spending a lot of time today on anything. We want instant everything. We want our information right now. We want our meals right now. And look, there have been a lot of great lists. There are no shortcuts for some things. Are you with me on that?
There's no shortcut to a good marriage. But Satan tries to get us to latch on to cheap substitutes, to try to seek out shortcuts. All of these various assaults, they are fierce, and they, I'm sad to say, have been very effective. Many kids today are growing up without ever seeing God's design modeled for them. And I'm not just talking about in non-Christian homes. There are kids growing up with parents who are professed Christians who are not seeing God's design modeled for them at home. And how tragic that is. If we would be wise and accepting of God's counsel, we need to understand what Satan is trying to accomplish in our homes. He's attacking us through his attacks on the Bible. He's trying to destroy our thinking, the Word of God's teaching on marriage. And then thirdly, this may not be one that you would have thought to add to the list, but I think when we're done thinking about this, you'll agree that this is so. Families have also been hurt, ladies and gentlemen, through changing attitudes toward the local church. This has a greater connection to the family than you might think. To start with, the local church is a spiritual what? Family. And it is tailor-made to serve as a unique and indispensable blessing for families. Now, the primary purpose of the church is not to help families per se. Ephesians 3 verse 21, our primary purpose is to give glory to God through Christ Jesus. But as such, in applying the teaching of Jesus Christ, as we function the way a church should function, that should serve secondarily to be a great blessing to any family that's part of it. For one thing, in a local church, families benefit from Bible preaching and teaching. In 1 Timothy 3 verse 15, it says that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. And so when families are part of a local church, they receive teaching from the one book that we've said is the one book that can help the family more than any other. Families receive teaching that urges, that encourages the application of God's instruction. Kind of like what we're doing this morning. So families benefit from being part of a local church. Because, first of all, there's the teaching of the Word of God that takes place. But the local church setting also provides other spiritual blessings for families. Provides a means for them to connect with other families. Other people who are on the same spiritual journey and struggling with the same daily issues. Provides opportunities for families to get involved together in the work of the kingdom of God. Provides opportunities for families to get involved with serving others together. And so today, families need the church more than ever. But I would say to you that today, perhaps more than ever, we find Satan assaulting local churches or assaulting the very concept of church. Number of ways that Satan attacks the church and thus attacks families. He assaults the church through fussing and fighting. And look, that hurts families. He attacks the church through the influence of false doctrine. That has an impact on families. He attacks the preaching and teaching of the gospel. He distracts brethren from the primary mission and work of teaching the gospel to the lost and to the saved. And I would say to you again, that hurts families. And Satan also tries to convince people that, and I've alluded to it, that the local church model, well, again, that's just outdated. I think we've said that about all three of these things. The Bible's outdated, marriage is outdated, the church concept is... Do you see an agenda at work, ladies and gentlemen? It's very deliberate what Satan is doing. Follow me on this. The destruction of the church contributes to the destruction of individuals. The local church is meant to be a blessing to each of us in our spiritual journey. And so if he can wreak spiritual havoc in our lives by attacking the fabric of the New Testament church, that's going to impact individuals. And if it impacts individuals, it's going to impact homes. It's going to impact families. Bottom line, when churches succumb to the assaults that Satan wages against it, or if he can persuade people to just avoid being part of a local church, that's how he hurts families. A vital source of blessing for families is lost. In fact, go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Let me close with this. In Acts 20, I want you to be reminded of something that the apostle said. In verse 28, Acts 20 and verse 28, this is Paul speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. He says to those elders, those shepherds, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." Can I just take a minute and talk about how important the church is to God? If I were to ask you, how important is the church? What answers would you give? Well, we see the importance of the church underscored by the amount of teaching that God gives to it, by the provisions that He has made to secure its growth, to encourage its growth. The very presence of shepherds in the church should serve as a powerful indication that God considers the local church setting important. He does not leave us to our own devices. He gives us instruction and discipline. But there's something else in this text that more than anything else underscores how important the church is to God. And it's found at the end of the verse. What does he say about the church of God? It was purchased with a great price. It was a price that God, from the very beginning of time, planned to pay. You see, the church is people. That's what the church is all about. It's about saving people. You're in the church because you are saved from your sins. A tremendous price was paid so that you could be saved. The church is precious to God. It has been purchased at the greatest of costs, the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you as we close, have you been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? It is the one thing that you need to be forgiven of your sins. You cannot be cleansed without the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel that we sang about prior to the lesson is preached because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed, and you need the blood of Jesus Christ to be saved. So as we close our thoughts about Satan's assault on the home, let me just offer this. The best thing that you can do for your family is to be right with God. That's the place to start. If you're not right with God, I completely believe that you're concerned about your family, but that right there is hurting your family. Now, don't obey the gospel because of your family. Obey the gospel because you need to be right with God. But that will serve secondarily as a blessing to your family. Have you been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ that we just read about? That blood that was shed to purchase your redemption? If not, you can enter into Jesus Christ today if you'd like to study about what the Bible says on how to become a Christian. We'd love to sit down and study with you. If you're ready to put on Christ in baptism this morning, we would love to assist you. Everything is ready to assist you in your obedience to the gospel. Whatever your spiritual need, we hope that you'll make your way to the front while we stand and while we sing this next song.